Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever it is on this amazing day. I hope you are having a great day. This is Robert Bolden, Life Transformed, and this is Coffee and Christ. This is my weekly share of the daily practice that has literally transformed my life over the past several years. And my hope with this podcast is that you will take something away from this that could potentially transform your life, because it can happen in an instant. That is the beauty of this. So those of you who are new, appreciate you joining. This is totally spontaneous. There's nothing rehearsed. I don't know what I'm going to come across this morning, but you'll get to see my reactions live as they occur. And I'm broadcasting from Odds Cafe here on West Haywood Road in Asheville, North Carolina. Amazing place. Come and check it out if you're ever in North Carolina. So let's get started with the verse of the day. And it is Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, this verse and verses around it have come up quite a bit in my life over the past couple of days. And I think it's significant for me just because, you know, the life circumstances that you have to face, situations, you have to be able to stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your identity and stand firm in the knowledge that my case, and maybe your case, you're a child of God. And that's what it's all about. No man can judge you or I. So we must stand firm in the faith. We can't stand firm in ourselves, because that can be trouble. It's got to be in the Word, in Jesus. That's where we stand firm. So I'm going to just make a note here. How this impacts me is no one can judge me. And, you know, it leads right back into no expectations for anybody or any situation. You know, Holy Spirit is with you and I. Holy Spirit knows what's ahead. Holy Spirit will try to guide us on the right path. We do have free will. We can override it. So it really comes back to obedience, listening for the Holy Spirit guidance, and stepping forward in faith. As many, many times, the logical steps aren't going to be the steps that align with where God would want you to go. That's what I've learned over time. And it's a beautiful thing, right? To learn that. It's really freeing. It's been freeing for me. And it is a form of freedom. Okay, so let's go to the devotional for today. Unity, not uniformity.
Yeah.
I like that. Right off the bat. Unity, but not uniformity. Ironically, the book of Revelation and its interpretation has been the source of some of the most heated division in the church. My friend and co-leader on the Life Transform Global Community, Tim Batasio, just finished the book on Revelation, which is going to be amazing. Can't wait for y'all to get a glimpse of it. So this is good. We were just talking about this yesterday. However, it is ironic because however you read it, its message is one of unity and the power of surrender. That's good. So Revelation, message, unity and surrender. That is so good. That's just what we were talking about on our call yesterday. That's so good. All right. This has got to be making a note here. Revelation 7 contains one of the most inspiring and uplifting images of the church in all scripture. John looked and saw a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Revelation 7. A great multitude representing everybody. That's the key. And that's the thing about God, Jesus. No one is excluded. You can only exclude yourself by choosing not to follow. That's the beauty. This is what the church can be like. We can be a diverse multitude standing in unity before the throne and before the Lamb. We could be a church that only gathers despite our differences, but welcomes them and celebrates them. This is what we do. I love this. We could be a church where our differences are not hidden or blurred into uniformity, but proudly displayed. Yes. Differences proudly displayed. You guys, this is describing our community, the Life Transformed community. This is beautiful. When we gather and worship before the throne of Jesus, this type of unity brings all the glory to the one who sits on the throne. When we can confidently declare that even though we're different, even though we don't always agree, even though we don't all walk, talk, dress, or look the same way, we can all come before the throne and cry out in worship to our God in our kaleidoscope of differences. It's easy to be convinced that we have the best theology, that we know the right way to worship, and that our interpretation of Scripture is the correct interpretation. It's okay to have our convictions, but we have to remember who sits on the throne. It's not us who sits on the throne. We all need to submit our whole lives, including our beliefs, before the throne and before the Lamb. Boom! That is what it's all about. It is total surrender. And it's not hard. I will say it can be hard if you have grown up in this world like I had. It's all about me. It's all about ego and me being the best I can be. Yes, in that circumstance, it can be hard. I'm trying to get the lighting right here. I don't know if I'll ever get it right. In that circumstance, it can be hard. But once you understand it and start surrendering pride and ego, it just becomes so easy to surrender everything. And it is freeing because you're not putting stress on yourself anymore, because it's not about you. It's not about me. Never was. The world would have us believe it's about you and I. But that's the lie that the enemy wants us to believe. So as you think of your church, do you see unity or uniformity? Now let's talk about that. Church is the people. So when I look at my quote unquote church, I don't look at a building or, you know, like I attend Seacoast Church. That's cool. But I don't look at that as my church. So there is a different frame of reference here. Church is the people. Church are people hanging out together. Church is our community. Church is multifaceted. It includes everybody. People that are in the building that I go to and people that aren't in the building that I go to. That's church. Could literally anyone walk in and feel they belong no matter what they are coming in with? It's okay if someone worships or thinks differently. Oh yeah, this is really... See, this part, I don't align with this because this is written from a, you know, kind of the Western church's perspective. And I think there's too much religion in churches nowadays. Personally, that's what I think. But again, just as this devotion is talking, I don't judge that. I welcome those people. I hang out with those people. And I try to show them Jesus in the way that the Holy Spirit is working through me, which is exactly what this devotional is talking about. This isn't the sort of thing that changes overnight. It's also not a simple matter of being more welcoming. It requires seeking out people who are different, learning from them, trying to understand their experience and worship of God. If you can't find anyone within your faith community, you'll have to engage with people outside your faith. Yes, that's it. And that's the community that we're building is the Life Transform Global Community, which is so much bigger than a local church community. Now, there's a place for a local church community. I'm not saying there isn't a place for that, but I'm saying you can get to the point where, as this says, if you can't find that experience within the formal church community with the small groups and with the all the stuff that all the churches do, kind of the business of church, and there are different degrees of that throughout. Some are, it's a spectrum, all along the spectrum. So I think the key is listening to the Holy Spirit. A good friend of mine, Garrett, who just gave his life to Christ not too long ago. It's one of the things I shared with him. I said, look, you're in a big church. That's great. There's a place for that. But if something doesn't seem right to you, follow that Holy Spirit instinct and challenge it. Ask questions about it. Don't just accept it. Because that's where apathy can roll in down the road for people when they're in those formal church communities. What can you personally do to be welcoming of difference in your community? I'll eliminate church there. Yes, in your community. Submit your own views, culture, and tradition to the throne of God, asking to help you embrace others who do things differently from you. Yeah, that's the message. It's not about, this church or that church. It's about Jesus. And I always say, keep it about Jesus. Any pastor that I've talked to said, what can I do to be a better pastor for you? And that's what I say. I say, just keep it about Jesus. That's all. Don't make it about churchy church stuff. Keep it about Jesus. All right. I am actually in the process of reading the Bible front to back for the first time ever in my life. And I am in Mark. And right now, let's see where I am here. Oh, yeah. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. So this is Mark 5:21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Okay, this is cool. I think I remember this story. Jairus' daughter is dying. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, and here the key thing is she thought, it's her belief. She believed that if she just touched her clothes, she would be healed. That is the power. You've got to believe. You can't be a skeptic. You can't be a You know, oh, well, da, 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 da. Just believe. You're wasting time, I'm telling you. Because if it's true, like I know it's true, if it is true, and you waste time being skeptical, it's time you'll never get back. You know, I love God because it took me most of my life before I found him. He was always there, but before I found him. And my first reaction was, dang, I wish I would have found him sooner. But the beauty of God is he keeps coming. He's there no matter what. So, isn't that beautiful? He's there. I probably had countless times to find him earlier in my life, and I didn't choose that. So my testimony, my story for you all is, if you haven't started following Jesus 100%, start now. This is your opportunity. Might as well do it. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So her belief freed her. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" So that's what's so cool. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith is healed." That's it. Just what I was talking about. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. That's what Jesus has to offer you and I. So good. So good. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And that's what Jesus is telling us. Don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. See how people are? Ye of little faith. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in there where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus, the message here is faith. By faith, you are healed. And it's no different than today. By faith, you are healed. And it's not just physical healing. It's emotional, spiritual, mindset, everything. Every way you can think of is the healing. And back to being set free. That is the ultimate. You are set free. Oh my gosh. That is it. Got to write this down. So that was Mark 21. Mark 5, 21 through 43. So you are healed by faith. That is the message. And it's back to that first verse I read about putting on the armor of God, too. That's what it's all about. And it's all resting in faith. You guys, thank you so much for joining me, Rafi and Christ. This has been Robert Bolden, Life Transformed. Every Thursday, one of these episodes will drop. Message me, like the podcast, share the podcast. I'd love to interact with you. There are ways to do it in the show notes. Just check it out. And until the next time, have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening.